We're joined by Todd Hayden, and we mentioned before that we were talking about it before the break. Todd has started the Fantasy Gaming Commission, probably in an effort to reform daily fantasy before all these states step in and try to shut it down. Todd, welcome to the Golf Shop.
Guys, thanks for having me. Honored to be here.
Well, Todd, this is I read about what you were doing, and obviously the daily fantasy stuff is it's under siege, and it's a huge news item right now as different states are trying to classify daily fantasy as gambling, while at least the two big dogs are, FanDuel and DraftKings are trying to argue that it's a game of skill. And you have a vested interest in this as you started SportsLock, it's a fantasy gaming. It's a version of fantasy gaming, and what you guys have done better than anybody else is make the draft easier by having to be mobile. So you've got a vested interest in seeing that this thing has worked out, and it's not a yay or nay. It's not a good or bad answer, that there might be a gray area. Is that a fair way to categorize what your position is?
Yeah, from our perspective, it's very true, right? We have SportsLock, a Chicago-based company that operates underneath this UGA law, the federal law that states that, fantasy is a game of skill. Not a game of luck or chance, and therefore not considered gambling by our federal laws. For us, we've seen this problem in terms of the fantasy space growing at such a rapid pace, and the laws not being able to keep up with it, right? This kind of antiquated 2006 language. And so being entrepreneurs that we are, we felt no one was doing enough. Like, we knew the regulations were needed, and we wanted to do something about it. And so, yes, it's our stance here is that we can have something where very similar to the NCAAs, very similar to the American Medical Association. We believe that this industry can be self-regulated. The federal government, the states have enough to worry about. We believe that they can step out of it, and hopefully by doing this, we can help a lot of operators. We can help potentially 75 million people in our country and Canada who are playing fantasy sports. So that's our goal here.
Yeah, I mean, in 2006 or even earlier when this legislation was this was put in place, the federal restrictions and things like that, you were talking about really a small-time industry. It was guys who were playing for pride against their friends and the old rotisserie, which for years I thought was a chicken. But that guys are just playing against each other, maybe, guys in the office playing for a few bucks. And now it's a multi-million heading into the billion-dollar industry. And all of a sudden, like you say, the laws haven't kept up. So how do you, as this guy from Chicago, this entrepreneur, this guy who's got all the energy to get it done, how do you step in and solve this problem before a state like Nevada says, nope, it's gambling, or New Jersey says, nope, it's gambling, and it gets set in stone? How can you wedge yourself in the middle?
Yeah, not easily, that's for sure. Luckily, the people that are behind this have some experience doing things like this, building different organizations, and we've got the right people. So I'm not saying that it's necessarily a race. It's not how we look at it. But the state of Nevada and what they did with the specifically saying that just daily fantasy sports, not even season-long fantasy sports, but just daily fantasy sports operators would require permission, or a license from the gaming board, that wasn't a too big of a shock from us. But, yes, we would like to be able to move as fast as we can, get the right people involved, and hopefully give that certainty to a handful of different states that are – looking at the language and saying, hey, look, we got to take a much deeper look at this because our specific state constitution doesn't address this UGA clause. And we want to help, right? We want to help educate. That's really what this commission is all about, making sure people really understand that, first off, the two guys that are offering their version of daily fantasy sports are not the only operators out there. And secondly, this industry is still growing at the rate it is based on what you just said, which is that this is a social game. It's played with friends, but for a long time, even in 2006, you had something like 19.4 million people playing. So this is still a very social experience. People have been doing this thing, like you said, for real dollars, and there needs to be regulations in this space. And that's really just how we feel about this. And we believe that being an operator, having the relationships with different people, influencers in this space, can really help this commission. And again, it was, no one else is really doing it. So we had to kind of take it upon ourselves to do this thing and get the right people involved.
Now, how do you try and convince that it's, and I think the argument really that like Nevada's trying to make and New Jersey's trying to make is that game of chance versus game of skill. How do you try and, parlay this, using the pun, into,
well done.
What makes this more skill than chance?
Well, here's the good news. I really do not believe that there's been many people, especially those that know the space and have played, that would say that fantasy is not a game of skill. But what you do have is this very specific 2006 Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act that doesn't even address, realistically, the ways that fantasy has evolved into nowadays, like you just said, how these two daily guys are offering it. So a commission is needed. A commission is needed to ensure consumers of who's handling the money, and there has to be transparency, and there has to be very specific punishments laid out if somebody were to not abide by the laws laid out by this regulatory commission. It will not be an easy task, but this space, similar to what's happening with Airbnb and happening with Uber, there's so many new pieces of technology being used now that weren't exactly the same way they were being used 5-10 years ago. We have to keep up with the times, and that really, again, is the goal of the commission, to first and foremost make sure that consumers have confidence in the space. Because I think as an operator, that's been the biggest thing that that we can take away over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks from all the stuff that's happening, a lot of the articles taking place in our space. Yeah. We want to make sure the consumers are comfortable with how everything's taking place.
Yeah, I heard an interesting analogy comparing this period in gaming and fantasy gaming to, you know, the transition from sort of horse-drawn carriages to cars. I mean, we had roads that were designed for horses, right, and all of a sudden we had cars, but the laws didn't keep up. So there was a kind of a long period of time where it was just completely lawless on the roads. And I think maybe what you're trying to do is avoid some of that and shorten that period of lawlessness so that hopefully, you know, this thing can, like you say, be self-governing and not be subject to each state's whim. Because then how does Nevada decide that a game is being played in its state? Is it by IP address? Is it by the player's residence? I mean, we're talking about, this is a whole new world. How do they determine what is being played in their state?
Well, you're exactly right on the analogy with the cars and the horses. And our take on this is that there are so many important things going on in our country, especially the year 2015, right, with a big election coming up next year. We don't want to have to make Congress move quickly on little things like this, again, to make sure the consumers are confident with everything going on in this space. And so that is our goal right there, is to try to step in, take some of the pressure off exactly what you just mentioned, both federal and at the state level, and try to help here. And you're right. How do they do that? Well, technology allows you to have a pretty good understanding of where phones are being used, where credit cards are essentially assigned to, right, by zip code and things like that. So player verification technology is actually very current right now, and that's in a pretty good place. But I think you're leading towards a bigger point. How do you have one state do that, potentially multiple states do that? And again, I hate to keep sounding so political here, but bringing it back to the consumer. The consumer has to feel very safe, especially when money's involved. And we have to just keep up with the times. And our space moved so rapidly, but nobody in the no operator, no trade association, nobody was really moving fast enough to make sure that the state felt comfortable. There was some clarity on some different things going on in terms of the rules and who can play where. Again, that's why we wanted to step up and try to help here.
Well, anyone who has turned on a television, a radio, a device of any kind over the last 6 months can relate to how big this has become. I mean, the commercialization of daily fantasy has just exploded. It's gone crazy.
It's incredible.
It's everywhere. So help us with context. How big is daily fantasy? I mean, we talk about 19 million. That's a weird number for me to sort of wrap my head around. How big is the daily fantasy space, and how fast did it get there?
Well, let's give you a bigger number. By next year, in the U.S. and Canada, there'll be 75 million people playing fantasy sports. 75 million. So that's a pretty large number. That's a nice percentage of our population playing fantasy sports. The daily space, these are according to the most recent numbers that are available. In 2014, there was about 1.5 million people playing specifically that kind of daily model. By this year, the end of this year, there's projections somewhere in between, 4 million if you look at one source and 8 million if you look at another. So it's growing. But the thing about the fantasy space is it's not just daily that's growing. And I think that that's what allowed a company like mine, SportsLock, to be able to build something different than those two guys that spent $150 million advertising in the month of September. So you're right. The whole world knows about them. But what we want to keep emphasizing, where I think that the daily space can continue to go, or the fantasy space in general, is – to really go back to its roots, to go back to this thing being about social, to being about competing with friends, to what grew the space to the you know, large number that it's going to hit by next year. It's really about what you mentioned at the beginning of our talk. This is played with buddies. Yes, it's played for money, but it's about pride. You know, fantasy has always been this engaging kind of platform. And I think that with the technology being improving, and you talk about companies like ours, and there's a few others out there too that are really trying to push the envelope in terms of making sure the space continues to evolve, that's what you have new operators doing. But the space is big. I mean, it's growing very quickly. And of course, when you spend that kind of money, the awareness definitely grows as well.
Again, we're talking with Todd Hayden of the Fantasy Gaming Commission and SportsLock. And let me ask you this question. You know, and it really, it obviously screams because you've got Las Vegas and Atlantic City, and those are pretty much the two that are pushing this whole thing because, you know, I guess you're taking money out of their pocket, and they're probably mad that they didn't come up with the idea to do this. But realistically, I mean, if you guys looked at the demographics, I mean, is it really like the people that are going to Vegas, you're taking money out of their pocket, the fantasy gamers? I mean, is it – are we really sitting there going – because you see all the commercials, you know, well, you can put in $5, you can win $1 million. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I don't play the daily. Heck, I have enough trouble playing one fantasy football league because every player I pick up gets hurt. So if you ever need any advice on who not to pick up, I'm your guy. But
we'll talk fantasy golf next.
Yeah.
We'll shift to that.
But I mean, are you really the demographic? Is it? Are you competing in the same space? Or, I mean, to me, it just seems like it's a completely different demographic of person that's going to Vegas or Atlantic City versus those that are playing fantasy football.
Yeah, we agree. And I'll tell you what, though. The first statement you made was, you know, why are they doing this? And is it obvious because of they're not involved in the space? Here's a very interesting number. It was reported that the first week of the NFL season was about $30 million wagered in the Nevada sports books, right? $30 million. If you took those daily guys, it was $60 million in entry fees in the first week of the NFL. So daily, those two guys really doubled the amount of volume that Vegas did in week one. So I believe that stat alone is going to make certain people, like you mentioned, react in a certain way, like we saw. So no, I don't personally believe that it's an A or a B, right? This is a binary choice. You either go to Vegas or you're playing on a daily site. So we don't see it that way, but we were not surprised by what took place in terms of who made those decisions and why they made them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, you go to Vegas, you go to the sports book, you're betting on, you're betting on the, let's say, the Texas A&M Ole Miss game today. For me, if I'm dropping $100 on that game and, what is it, Mississippi's given 5, you know, I've only got to beat the house. I go to fantasy sports games. Not only does my player have to perform well, but I have to beat other people to make my money back. So for me, I don't know. I'd rather only have to beat one person than a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's again, you know, as a country in general and how we look at sports, let's call it the Vegas way, sports gambling, right? And you can walk in somewhere and you can bet a spread. It's a 50-50 chance. You can hit the over, hit the under, so on and so forth. That really is the differentiating factors between why fantasy was called a game of skill and not a game of chance. And you're right. So, no. From what we know and from what some of the data out there can say, it is not pulling people from going to Vegas, right? This daily fantasy space, we don't believe that's the case. Having said that, you have a new generation of sports fans, of people who like to take action on sports. And when you're taking action on fantasy, right, versus when you're betting in Vegas, you're talking about people who are taking and selecting players versus just teams. And I think that's the new way of my generation of how we feel more comfortable rooting for sports fans. It's no longer about the team, but it's really about this putting together a roster of players. And so one of the things we believe will start happening in Vegas specifically is, you know, will there be more, let's call them prop bets, where you have things that you can take on players. In golf, us golf fans are very familiar with that because most of the time, if you're in a Vegas kind of setting and you're taking action on golf, you're playing a matchup, right? You're taking Zach Johnson versus Jordan Spieth. So I believe the golf community is familiar with that. But in other sports, in football and basketball and baseball, you don't see a lot of that in Vegas. We expect that to change in the next couple of years.
Well, Todd, we're up against it. Man, we appreciate you coming on. Good luck with the Fantasy Gaming Commission and good luck with SportsLock.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Really fast, because I know that your listeners will like this. If they go on to SportsLock, type in the code ESPN. We're doing something special for some of your listeners. So if they want to play SportsLock, type in ESPN. They'll get some good stuff from us.
Awesome.
Good deal, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right.